Biosphere 2 is in the midst of an overhaul. The $150 million greenhouse in southern Arizona originally was designed to prove that humans could live in a closed ecological system, the kind of place that might be built for astronauts to live on the moon or Mars. When that controversial project collapsed in 1995, Columbia University took over. The goal is to create a unique center where researchers can study Earth's climate. That may happen, but for now, Biosphere is struggling to prove its value to science and overcome its notorious past, NPR's Joe Palca reports.
In September 1991, eight people wearing red jumpsuits left the natural Earth environment and entered the artificial one near Tucson called Biosphere 2. Day one had the feel of a NASA space launch, and the media treated it that way.
Four men and four women called Biospherians plan to live in here 2 years, sealed off from the outside world, recycling all the air they breathe, the water they drink, and the food they eat.
But from the beginning, the project, funded by Texas billionaire Ed Bass, had an image problem.
The latest rumor is that this is all attached to some wacky cult and that it's got some sort of psycho-spiritual overtones or something.
The first Biospherians made it 2 years, barely. They had trouble growing enough food, and their oxygen levels unexpectedly dropped. The second crew lasted only 6 months, forced to leave when a potentially toxic gas started building up inside the closed environment. Despite that failure, a few researchers are convinced that Biosphere can become a unique tool for studying the future of this planet, and they're willing to lay their careers on the line to make it work. No one gets sealed in anymore at Biosphere. Instead, scientists pass in and out through this airtight hatch as they tend to their experiments. The first thing you notice about Biosphere when you enter is the size of the place. There are 3.5 acres inside this glass and steel building, and the roof is 9 stories high at its highest point. Barry Osmond, a leading plant biologist, now heads Biosphere 2. He points out the succession of complex ecosystems that spread through the structure.
We can see on the left the rainforest and the curtain that partitions it from the ocean. And this is the savanna area. It goes further down to the mangrove swamp on the left, and beyond that, a thorn scrub, and beyond that, the desert.
As you walk through these different biomes, as they're called, you can feel the air on your skin change as you move from the bone-dry desert to the hot, humid rainforest. 6 years ago, Columbia scientists convinced the university administration to manage Biosphere because they said it presented an extraordinary opportunity to understand a large-scale environment. Here, if you want to see what happens to plants and trees if we humans keep pumping carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, you just turn up the CO2 inside a biome and watch the result. Or let's say you want it to rain. Oceans swallow up nearly a third of the carbon dioxide we add to the atmosphere. But no one really knows what happens to the ocean's ability to take up CO2 when it rains. NASA's Larry Bliven is trying to answer that question. A heavy shower falls from sprinklers high above the ocean biome. The Biosphere ocean is 700,000 gallons of seawater in a tank the size of an Olympic swimming pool. Bliven says making the accurate measurements he needs is much easier in an indoor facility than on the open ocean.
When you start to look for a facility that has salt water and enough elevation for raindrops to effectively mimic natural rain, I don't know of another facility in the world that has that characteristic.
Despite these unique properties, scientific critics wonder whether the answers that come from experiments inside Biosphere 2 will really apply to Biosphere 1, the planet Earth. For example, when it rains inside Biosphere, the rain falls straight down. There's no wind driving the rain and whipping up the seas. Columbia University's David Ho, lead investigator for the RAIN experiment, says of course it's not the real world, but it's a perfect training ground.
In order to convince people that what we have here can be extrapolated to the real world, we will have to go out there and do an experiment. But things that we've learned here will help us, because then when we go out to the real world, we'll know what to look for.
And while it may seem obvious that the real world is where you have to go to get real answers, plant biologist Joe Berry says that's not necessarily so.
There's no reason to be supremely confident that studying natural ecosystems is going to tell you the truth. and tell you all the truth.
For example, how do you know if the measurements you take in a rainforest in April will reflect what will happen in October? Barry has been coming to Biosphere on a regular basis for 5 years from his lab at Stanford University. He's been trying to understand how rainforests respond to changes in Earth's climate.
We're underneath a big Cecropia tree. You can see it's fairly dark in here. We have a full canopy.
In a real rainforest, Barry says, you don't have easy access to the top of the canopy. Here, you can easily climb to the roof and perch yourself above the trees to make measurements. When Barry first came here, he noticed that the tops of the trees were dying from attic-like temperatures, and he battled with Biosphere's management to have fans installed in the rainforest. That's why it's so noisy in here, but the trees are now healthy.
This has been a really difficult process to get off the ground because this was not a university. This was more like a theme park, and I had to kind of sell my soul to get people to put in fans, and they were very proud of the fact that this is a closed system, and I wanted to get controls.
Barry wants controls so he can be in charge of the environment, changing it to suit a particular experiment. But getting those controls costs money, and that's the other point critics of Biosphere raise when they question the value of this place to science. Biosphere 2 is a very expensive place to run. It costs $750,000 a year just for electricity. There's no guarantee that the scientific results will ultimately justify the cost. One source of income for Biosphere has been tourism. The facility attracts 200,000 visitors a year.
Now we'll talk about some of the research regarding the rainforest as we get closer up to it. We're going up that way right now. So be sure.
Tourism brings in money, but not nearly enough to run the place. Columbia University and Biosphere's owner, Ed Bass, are covering the operating costs. So far, only one outside group, a private foundation, is supporting research here. The U.S. Department of Energy may provide support, but it hasn't yet. Biosphere director Barry Osman knows he's facing a deadline. Columbia University has only agreed to manage the facility until 2010. Osman says he needs to convince creative scientists to come to Biosphere and demonstrate its potential.
We are struggling, it's fair to say, we are struggling to convince our colleagues in North America that this is the way it should be. Here, we can set the conditions, repeat the experiment, and our colleagues have frankly never thought of what they can do and learn from this sort of approach.
If those scientists don't come, or if they fail to convince people that it's a valuable place for new and innovative research, Biosphere 2 may only be known as an Arizona tourist attraction with a peculiar past. Joe Palka, NPR News, Oracle, Arizona.